Guys, welcome back to Wine, Crime, and TV Time. I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Emily.
And today we have another true crime episode for you.
Yippee!
We don't really have anything interesting to say in the beginning. There's not really anything going on with Peyton Houston right now. I also don't think that there's anything going on with the Heidi Broussard case either. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, other than that, I feel like there hasn't been much going on, which I guess is a good thing. Other than the fact that, obviously, Kobe Bryant died yesterday and his daughter, which is devastating.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely sad that there were children on board, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's
differently when, like, there's kids.
It does, and, like, this is, I feel like, the first, like, iconic, like, sports player of our generation that we've like watched this happen, you know, like somebody that like was a legend, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I saw like what you posted, and I always, if I throw something and get it in, I'm always like Kobe.
Literally
friggin' 10. And I did it yesterday because I was like throwing my garbage out, and then I was like, is it too soon for that? Like
I it's so weird because I am not, like, the biggest sports person, but, like, Dave is a really big sports fanatic and stuff like that. And, like, it's not like I was, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, my God, I was a big Kobe Bryant fan. But it, like, really hit me hard yesterday. Like, I was, like, very sad the whole day about it, among other things. But
all right. Let's not get into that.
Yeah. No, that was really sad, and also Ariana Grande should have won every Grammy, but it's fine.
You are getting into it, okay. It's funny that you mentioned Dave being a sports fan, because Dennis comes home, and I'm like, oh, like, Kobe Bryant died. He's like, yeah, the boys were talking about it, and I'm like, what boys? He's like, you know my group chat, like, Dave, Brian, Josh. I'm like, okay.
The boys.
My boys.
Probably. I will say I did love the Boyz II Men and Alicia Keys. Did you watch the Grammys?
I watched, like, the performances. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Demi Lovato did great. I think she did.
I think she did, but she was also just yelling so much. Like, I was like, stop yelling.
She's kind of a yeller, though.
That's my thing with her. That's what bothers me. Like, I actually liked the song. It's, like, very emotional, very good. I'm not, like, the biggest Demi Lovato, so
I'm not either.
I, like,
she was very good, I think.
Yeah, I think she did good, but she just was like, ah! It was a lot of yelling.
What did you think of your favorite girl, Camila? Or Camila
Cabello?
Camila?
Listen,
Cabello.
Her and Shawn Mendes didn't even walk the red carpet together, which just proves my point that they're not a real couple. And second, I don't like her at all.
I know.
But surprisingly, I was like, oh, I don't hate this song.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was, like, cute. However, I also felt it was, like, very juvenile. Like, Steven and I were talking about it, and we were both saying that it felt like a poem you write in, like, sixth grade for your dad. Like, just the way the wording was. I don't know.
And I bet that if you looked at, like, who wrote it, there was about 50 people on there who wrote
literally.
It.
And this is what really bothers me, is she made a comment that was like, you know, I'm much different than, like, all of the other celebrities right now. Like, I'm a much different writer because I'm not writing songs about, like, being a bad bitch and, like, spending money, a.k.a., like, throwing shade at Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing stuff about that's, like, meaningful and, like, just good lyrics or something like that. And I'm like, are you?
Well, I think that Ariana's lyrics about being a bad bitch and spending money are great.
So. It makes me feel empowered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, like, as much as, like, I didn't mind Camila Cabello's whatever, I also just felt like it was almost like she thought she was at the talent show or something, because I don't know if she knew, but she was performing for the Grammys, not just, like, to her dad.
Right.
Which I found weird. And what, they just, like, moved her dad to the front row for a minute?
For a hot sec, yeah.
Yeah. But Ariana looked freaking great in all of her outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents were so cute. And she was amazing and deserved Album of the Year and everything else. And
the video she posted at the end, I was like, at, like, the end of the night, I felt sad. Mm-hmm.
I felt so sad. I felt so sad watching so many parts of it. I felt sad. You know how they, like, show all of, like, when they say all the nominees and they show mm-hmm. them in the crowd? Mm-hmm. Like, I just, like, felt, even though she was like, yay, like, I could feel how sad she was, like, mm-hmm. that she didn't win. And then when Billie Eilish went up to accept Album of the Year or whatever, and she was like, I just want to say that, like, Ariana deserves this. Thank You Next got me through some shit, blah, 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 whatever. Ariana, like, when she was like, no, take your moment or whatever, like that, like, you could see in her eyes she was trying so hard not to cry, and I felt so bad for her. Because I'm telling you, every single one of these award shows, she gets gypped every time.
Which doesn't make sense to me because she's so talented and she clearly, very clearly deserves those awards.
Right. And I was actually, like, reading comments on Facebook and somebody had the nerve to say that, well, they were like, oh, Billie Eilish deserved every one of them. She is a true vocalist. Ariana is nothing without auto-tune. And I'm like,
Have they ever watched her live, like, shows? Right. Just wondering.
And go to a
listen
concert.
Listen to her fucking newly produced, not produced, but released live album.
Exactly.
If you
and
can't
I'm just like, it just, like, pisses me off because she didn't deserve that, and that's why I get mad. And I'm sorry, but, like, I just don't feel that somebody should sweep the whole thing. Right. When this is voted on by an academy, it's not fans. If it were fans, I could maybe get it.
Yeah, like the Teen Choice Awards.
Sure, yeah, or the VMAs. The VMAs are all fan-based. Like, she didn't get anything at the VMAs. She gets gypped every time, and this was, like, her year, in my opinion. This was her year. She had two bomb-ass albums. I mean, obviously, Sweetener wasn't at the Grammys, like, this year. That was last year. But you're going to ask this woman to come perform and have, like, one of your biggest time spots for a performance. You're going to have her come there, have her sit in the front seat, basically, that everybody can see her, advertise that she's performing, basically all for clout, and then give her nothing? Like,
yeah.
How did she not get vocal? That's one thing that really bothers me, too, is vocal pop album. Billie Eilish does not deserve that. I'm sorry. She whispers three quarters of her songs and cries. Yeah, and I like the girl. Don't get me wrong. I like her.
Yeah, I think, like, she's talented. Fine. But does she have the talent that Ariana has? I don't think so at all.
No, and I just feel that Ariana deserved Grammys because she's probably not going to put out an album this year, so next year is not going to be her year. Like, when, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Although, I just am coming to find that Eminem is so right about the fucking Grammys because he said, he was like, nobody cares about the best artist in the academy. Nobody cares about that. Nobody's looking at who is doing what. They're looking at who is creative, yeah, but who's new and is going to cause, like, a scene. So he, like, refuses to go to the Grammys because he's like, and Beyonce is, like, basically the same way.
Mm-hmm.
She's gotten gypped 1,000 times too. Even if you don't like her, you can't say that, like, she doesn't deserve a fucking Grammy.
No, she's very talented. I'm just, like, not a huge fan. Sorry,
right,
Steve.
Which I know. Which is why I get pissed off when people come for Ariana. I'm like, you cannot like her, but you can't say she's not talented.
Right. Like, that's why I was getting so frustrated today. And, like, I knew that me posting the article was gonna get people to, like...
I literally took my story down because I was like, I just don't
want to... Did you really?
Yeah. Because I was just like... Nobody said anything. I was just like, I started thinking about it and I was like, I posted that after, like, two posts after a Kobe Bryant thing. And I just felt like there are bigger issues in the world and I look like a fucking asshole posting that. So that's why I took it down.
Mm. Okay.
But I still feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was getting annoyed. I was like, I'm not going to argue with people over fucking Ariana Grande, Billie Eilish. So
I literally wanted so bad to, like, go into the comments and send basically what I was sending to you.
Your text and just posted it on there.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, yeah. That was our recap of the Grammys. Hope you guys like this episode.
See you next week.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so I guess we can get into today's episode because it's time.
Yes, it is.
So today we're going to be talking about Kanika Jenkins. So Kanika Jenkins also went by Kanika Martin because I believe her mom's last name was Martin, and I don't know anything about her dad, but She was a 19-year-old girl from Chicago, Illinois, who was found dead in a freezer at the Crown Plaza Chicago O'Hare Hotel in Rosemont, Illinois. And from my understanding, this is like right near the O'Hare Airport, so like Chicago's airport. There's been speculation for years over the fact of this being a tragic accident or if this was a murder case. So let's talk a little bit about Kanika. So Kanika's family described her as extremely sweet, goofy, full of joy and excitement, always smiling, hardworking. She had been working two jobs and she was planning to put herself through nursing school. She grew up in North Lawndale, Illinois. And from my understanding, this wasn't the nicest section of Chicago. And there was a lot of crime that had gone on in the area like that Kanika grew up in. And this would make it a little difficult for all of the teenagers who grew up there to find a place to have, like, parties. Like, we would have, like, house parties. And there was just so much crime and, like, drugs and stuff like that there was no, like, house parties. Like, you didn't fuck with that shit. Yeah,
sounds terrifying.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this I believe was the west side of Chicago. I don't know what that necessarily means, but yeah.
Is so, that the side that the famous house is on?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because then I would get it.
Probably. I mean, I was watching the new Neve show, the True Life Crime, whatever that I was telling you about, and they started out.
Saw a commercial for that and I was like, we should have started that.
I know. He stole our idea.
God damn it, Neve.
But he's not even like on it.
No.
He just like introduces the case and then there's this other guy. Or other people, I guess. But there was one guy that was saying that there are basically like not all of Chicago is like crime ridden and drug ridden and stuff like that. Like he said there's five like suburbs of Chicago, not suburbs, but what are they called? Boroughs. Mm-hmm. Of Chicago that have like really high crime, and North Lawndale was one of them.
I actually really want to go to Chicago. Obviously, not in the winter, but I hear great things. And your Uncle Dennis actually goes all the time for work, and he said that he's actually only been to like in like the nice part of Chicago like twice, and he goes like every couple months.
How crazy. Yeah, I hear good things. I also really want to go to Austin, Texas.
Yeah, that's where a work event is this year.
My Behind the Chair show is in San Antonio that I really want to go to. But yeah, I also want to get to Nashville.
Oh, Nashville for sure. Mm-hmm. Still mad we didn't go.
Same. I'm poor. Same. Always. Okay, where was I? So her friends and family, her friends and family said that it was like really common for them to have parties at hotels downtown near the airport because they were a little bit more lax in that area and they would allow the kids to get away with this, which I don't really understand because from what I understand, these hotels were actually really nice hotels. So I'm shocked that they would allow this and this was like a known thing, but in their area, they wouldn't allow this.
Okay.
So I also don't know how many hotels there were in their section of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So on September 8th, 2017, Kanika goes to the Crown Plaza for a friend's birthday party. And based on hotel footage, it looks like her and her group of friends had arrived around 1:30, 1:15, I think it was actually 1:15. Kanika, what?
In the afternoon?
No, at night.
Oh, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, like late. I'm like, really? I did not go out that late.
I'm sleeping.
Same. Even when I was 19, I feel like I didn't start at 1:15.
No. Sorry.
But Kanika also didn't tell her mom that she was going here. She had asked her mom to borrow her car, and she told her that she was going to go bowling and go to a movie with some friends because they were going to celebrate a new job that Kanika had just gotten. So her friends claim that the friends that were with her that arrived with her. So there were three friends that were with her that arrived with her. And they claim that she had stopped, or they had stopped on their way, and they picked up some Hennessy, some energy drinks, and some marijuana. Yeah. Hennessy and energy drinks.
I know. I literally, oh, that's gross.
The only thing I can think is maybe they were, like, taking shots and chasing them.
I really hope so.
I mean, I don't know. But yeah, and then they arrived around 1:15. A lot of this case has to do with video footage, which makes it a little bit hard for me to, like, kind of share and talk about. But I will play some of those clips so you can kind of hear what's going on. But around 1:30, her friend whose birthday it was posted a live video to her Facebook at the party. And Kanika also sends her sister a text, which I couldn't find this text. But they say that that was the last outgoing text that Kanika had ever sent. Kanika's also seen in a bunch of Snapchat videos that night, and she's in the Facebook Live asking for a phone charger at one point, and she's also basically saying, like, that the party's lame or something like that, like, whatever. And this is the beginning, mind you, because they got there at 1:15, it's, like, 1:30, so people are just arriving, it's still a little quiet there. And I do want to talk more about those Facebook Lives in a little bit. I just kind of want to get, like, the information out because there is a lot that goes on with that. There's a lot of speculation that goes on with that. So as the night progressed, the party seemed to get, like, really wild. And there are other videos of everybody partying and having a lot of fun. And friends that were at the party claim that Kanika was drinking pretty heavily, but she didn't do any drugs and she didn't smoke any pot or anything like that. She was just drinking a lot. But yeah, if you ever, like, look up these videos of the party, it's, like, wild.
Like, I've seen.
It's so insane to me. But what's also insane to me is, like, they were having this party that I guess started at 1:30 and what was, like, ending at 3. Like, they had a party for an hour and a half. Like, isn't that weird?
Yeah, I would think in my head my hotel birthday party would start at, like, 10 and end at, like, 3.
At least. Like, if not 8.
True.
I don't know. I guess they're, like, younger than us, but still, I just feel like an hour and a half of a birthday party.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go. I'd be like, yeah,
I'm good. And you have to drive there.
Right, they had to have a DD.
Right, and that's my other part of confusion, because they took Kanika's mom's car, but obviously Kanika was not going to be the one to drive home.
Right, because she was already, like, getting lit.
And what I also don't understand, and I guess, again, they're younger and maybe they don't eat as much or something, but, like, an hour and a half to get, like, really, really wasted, like, sounds so, like, you must be, like, drinking so much.
Yeah, that doesn't sound enjoyable to me. Like, I'd rather take, like, 3 hours to get really wasted.
Same. So Kanika and her friends decide that they're going to leave around 3 o'clock in the morning, and Kanika realizes after getting to the elevators on the floor that she left her keys and her phone up in the room. So her friends decide to leave her there by the elevators and they go back to get her keys and her cell phone. And I can't remember if it was two friends that she was with at this point, like if there were three of them or if there were four, like if she had two friends or three friends there. But regardless, they went back to go get her keys and cell phone, and she was waiting by the elevator.
Okay.
So they would go on to claim that they were only gone for like 10 to 15 minutes, which I actually think is kind of a long time to like run and grab something and come back to the elevator, because you're on the same floor. They're not in the lobby at this point. They're on the same floor. So 10 to 15
minutes tops.
Yeah. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And you know, your friend is out there waiting. Wasted.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, I don't really understand why somebody didn't stay with her.
Right. Like, I mean, I feel like if someone's that wasted, you need someone to be with you.
Yeah, and, like, one can go back and get the stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like she's clearly way too drunk and she's underage, alone right. on a hotel floor. Like, it just doesn't seem like the greatest decision. But we've all, like,
when drinking.
Yeah. So at this point, for some reason, Kanika gets into the elevator, and I'm not sure if they pressed the button and then walked away after realizing that she didn't have her things, and then the elevator came and Kanika got in it, or if she like waited a little while and stood there and then pressed the button by herself to get on. But either way, she gets into the elevator. And on surveillance footage, you see her coming out of the elevator, but in the basement of the hotel. And this surveillance footage makes up so much of this case, which is why it makes it so hard to just talk about as opposed to, like, show. Because I think the surveillance footage is, like, very, very important in this. So you see her coming out of the elevator into the basement. And I've seen it speculated that maybe she press the button for the lower level, which would be like LL, and thought it was the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Which would totally make sense, like, if you're drunk.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. Because usually, like, the lobby will have, like, a star next to it, and then, like, I don't know, G, or, like, for ground floor, I don't know. So you see her, like, stumble out of the elevator, super intoxicated, and she, like, stumbles out, looks to the left, and then the right, and starts walking towards the right. And you can see her in a hallway down there, and she just kind of, like, stumbles back and forth, like, bouncing off the walls, kind of, and, like, holding herself up on the wall. Like, she can't stand on her own.
That is so rough.
She was really, really, really drunk, it looked like. So what's crazy is there's a doorway down there that she stumbles near. And it had a staircase that actually led right up to the lobby. But she, like, totally walked right past it, which is, like, so unfortunate because, like, it was right there.
Mm-hmm.
So she walks into these two double doors that are on the other side of this staircase. Like, if the staircase is at one end, the double doors are at another end of the hallway.
Okay.
And this leads her into some sort of, like, a staff hallway. And I'm pretty sure that there weren't any cameras there. But she literally, like, walks in and, like, I guess looks around and then turns back and comes back through the double doors. Which you don't see her in there, but you see her come back in, obviously. And it kind of just seems like she's lost and looking around, opening doors, trying to find her friends and trying to hold herself up and get to where she needs to be. So at around 3:28 in the morning, she walks around towards the downstairs bathroom. There was a men's room and a ladies' room, like, right by those stairs. There was also a bunch of, like, conference rooms there. So people did have, like meetings and stuff down there. It wasn't just, like, this random ass basement. There were bathrooms and stuff. So she, like, walks into the men's bathroom for about 18 seconds. And then you see her come back out. which is super weird. And she starts walking back towards that staff hallway again. So at 3:31, she goes back through these doors and goes up a small flight of stairs up into a kitchen. So from my understanding, there were two kitchens in this hotel, and there was one that was on that basement level. And then, like, the basement level upstairs, like a small step up. I don't know. There were two different kitchens though. And the one that was in the one that she walked into that was up the flight of stairs was being renovated at the time. So nobody was going in there at the time. Nobody was cooking in there. Nobody was using that kitchen. It was apparently they had another restaurant that was being opened up on the premises, and it was going to be for that restaurant, but they had to renovate it before then. So the camera picks her up again, and you see her walking through the kitchen. So since she left that, like, basement door into that staff hallway and then walked up, you didn't see her, like, until she entered the kitchen. You don't see her walk up the stairs or anything like that because there were no cameras in that staff hallway.
Right. Okay.
So you see her start walking through the kitchen, and there's, like, a separate freezer area, and she kind of walks from the kitchen through to the freezer area, which we don't have any surveillance footage of the freezer area, like the freezer itself. Like, you can't physically see who opens and closes the freezer doors, just shadows, the way that the cameras are. And I don't know if it's that there aren't cameras there or we don't have the footage of the cameras there. So allegedly, she opens the refrigerator, she walks in and probably wasn't thinking it was a freezer or was confused, and then the door shuts behind her and it locks behind her. Because this is like a walk-in freezer that they automatically lock.
Which is weird to me because every, like, place I've worked that had a walk-in freezer does not automatically lock behind you. Like, so, there is a latch.
Right.
Inside.
But it's pitch black in there. And
there's no light in there too?
No, there's no light. The there is a light. The light switch is outside of the freezer door.
Okay.
So there would have been a light, and she probably would have seen this latch had she had the light, but it's literally pitch black when she goes in there. And we're definitely going to get more into the freezer talk later, because I have some opinions on that, like the whole automatic closing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's totally pitch black. And what's strange to me, too, is the fact that this kitchen isn't being used and is under construction, but the freezer's still on and kept cold. But they claimed that it was because they were opening this new restaurant and they needed the freezer for extra space. I don't know.
Okay.
So I guess that that's a common thing. I've never worked in a food industry, so I have no idea. So now at this point, Kanika's friends are looking for her around the hotel because, mind you, she's stumbling for maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes. So mm-hmm. she's stumbling around almost the entire time that they are on their way back to come get her. So around 3:52, they're seen in the lobby and they're looking for her clearly. And you can tell that they're just really confused. Like they're just like putting their hands up and they're like, cause you can't hear anything. You just see them.
Right.
But they're not like frantic at this point because they're probably just like, what the hell? Where is
this
she? Like,
bitch.
Yeah. They're all like irritated. So at 3:56, one of her friends looks down into the hallway of the lower level of the hotel and searches for Kanika, but she doesn't see anything. Like she opens there's a door to like a staircase, I guess. She opens it and looks down, doesn't like notice anything. So she just closes it and goes back to the lobby. So around 4:00, the girls decide to call Kanika's mom, Teresa, to tell her what had happened that night. Cause she doesn't even know that they're there. So they have to tell her that. And they also want to know if maybe Kanika had gone home. Maybe she got herself an Uber or something because they had her keys. But
right. They
were like, we have no idea where she is. And Teresa tries calling Kanika, but the girls all those girls have Kanika's phone. So they answer and they're like, hey, it's us. You know,
couldn't they like go to hotel staff and be like, can you look back and see where she went?
So her friends... Now, at this point, after talking to her mom, go up to the front desk, finally.
Oh, now they do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking 3:52 is when they're seen in the lobby looking. They call her mom around 4, and they go to the lobby after that. It's not that much later, maybe a half hour. I don't think that that's that odd, because if that were my friend, I'd be, like, trying to find them on my own first, too, probably. Mm. I would think. But I don't know. I'm not in the situation.
Yeah.
So, and also they're probably thinking like, oh, I don't want to get her in trouble with her mom. Like,
right.
You know? So they go up to the front desk and I assume that they're asking if they saw Kanika, and they're just standing there talking to the front desk person for quite a while and nothing really comes of it. So they start to go like, keep looking. And at this point, there's, like, a bar that is, like, down a hallway, kind of, like, away from the lobby. And they go down there. They're looking in there. I mean, it was closed, but they were like, maybe she's sitting in here or something. They couldn't find her. And they search for her car. They go back. They go out into the parking lot. And this is around 4:15. So, yeah, this is only 15 minutes after they called her mom. And they go out into the parking lot to see if they can find her car. They like search the parking lot, I guess, and they wind up finding nothing. So they go back into the lobby trying to figure out where she is. They start looking again, go back to that bar, and there's a set of stairs that goes into the basement there. That's the set of stairs that would lead up into the like the lobby area.
Mm-hmm.
So they go down these stairs into the basement, and they don't go through like the double doors that I was talking about, which that's what would have brought them up to where she was. But they like look all through the bathrooms and everything like that, and they like can't find her. But mind you, it said like staff only there. So they probably were just like, oh,
they're thinking that she, as a drunk person, was going to obey the rules.
Right, naturally.
Yeah.
So around 4:30, they left the hotel to look for her again, and they went back outside by the cars. Like, they, like, really went all over the place looking for her. Mm-hmm. They keep going back and forth trying to look for her, and I think that they also had, like, other people from the party coming down and looking and trying to help. But at 5:05, surveillance captures Kanika's friends running to Teresa's car, and they weren't walking, they were literally running. So at this point, they must have felt panic or something, or I don't know why they were running, but they were running. And they drive it back to Teresa's house. So they tell Teresa that they can't find Kanika, and Teresa gets in the car with Kanika's friends to go back and look for her. And Teresa asks the hotel staff if they would look at the surveillance footage of the hotel, and she's told no, because it's a police matter and that she would have to file a missing persons case. And that they can't check the hotel footage, which I think is ridiculous. But at this point, her mom and her friends decide that they're going to search the hotel again. And at 7:15, Teresa calls the Rosemont police to tell them that her daughter is missing. And I'm going to play a little bit of that for you.
911, where's the address of your emergency?
Yes, I'm at the Crown Plaza at O'Hare Airport. And I was calling because my daughter came to this to a party here last night, a gathering with her friends. And now her friends, they say that they left on the front of the hotel and she's not able to be found now. She's 19 years old.
And you said that this, and you said the Crown Plaza at O'Hare Airport?
Yes. Yes, and they said that when her friends was asking earlier today, like about 4:00 in the morning, because they run the video cameras, they said that they didn't have no camera. But now I came and it was a lady. She said that she heard music, and she asked me that I want to go upstairs, and we went upstairs on the 11th floor, and it was someone came to the room, a couple of guys. But that's all she just saw, because she was busy trying to get reception on her phone.
All right, well then, you know what? Are you sure you don't mean the Crown Plaza in Rosemont?
Yes, the Crown. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. The Crown Plaza in Rosemont. That's exactly where it's at.
No, it's okay. And have you spoke? And you said you spoke with the
front desk. I'm sitting outside, right in front of the hotel in the parking lot right now.
And they were saying that they haven't seen your daughter since she left, or
no? This is a different set. This is a different I'm sorry. It's a new shift, and they said that they haven't seen it. Well, of course they wouldn't have seen it, because this is like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Do you think it's possible maybe she went to one of her friends' houses, or you know, she's probably
no, actually, because she had my car. She was driving my car. She know I don't like nobody to drive my car because my insurance will not pay for nobody. One besides her.
It's my mom.
But they called me like about 3 in the morning. Well, they brought me right out here. And I came to the hotel and I showed them a picture of her and I asked them if they see it. And it was a lady in the lobby. And she heard me asking at the front desk. And she said it was music. She did hear music. She called downstairs to report the room. And come to find out it was the people next door. And when we knocked on the door, that person said that she did see my daughter downstairs. It was like 4 of them, and it was 4 of them. And she said, my daughter, she was with 3 of her friends, but her 3 friends said, which then, you know, these kids won't tell the truth. They said that they went upstairs to get her cell phone. And when they went to get her cell phone, she was standing in the lobby, in the front lobby. And then when they came back down, she wasn't there anymore.
No, I completely understand. The one issue we have, and it's not necessarily that it's an issue, but she is an adult. She is 19 years old. And, again, she's only been gone for a couple hours. She's, you know, I don't know, maybe she's, you know, she could be somewhere with one of her friends or something. Because, I mean, it is only a couple hours since you hadn't seen her, correct? Or since her friends supposedly hadn't seen her?
Correct. Let's say about 3 to 4 hours now, they said. They told me. It was like 4:00 in the morning when they called me.
Yeah. I guess the one, are you looking to file a missing persons report then? Or are you just...
I'm not following that site.
I'm sorry, go on ahead.
I'm so sorry, Sarah. I just want to know, is it possible that maybe they can look at the cameras and see, it's because they send the police out here and ask them to look at the cameras and see if they've seen her on their cameras around that time.
I was about to say, even if I did send an officer, it would take a little bit in order for us to get the camera footage and for us to pass it on to the detectives division.
Okay. Okay. So So what would you suggest?
Well, again, the only thing I would suggest maybe just, give her a couple hours. She could have went somewhere with one of her other friends. I mean, and who knows what her friends are saying is true, you know what I mean?
Exactly. You could tell, it don't sound right. I'm a parent. I've been young before. And it's not sounding right. It don't sound right, period. That's why I came out here myself. Because they sound like they had been drinking, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
And I asked them, did she drink? And they said she had only one cup. You know, but, okay, my daughter ain't the type that normally, she can't even take liquor. Her liquor level is just like mine. We can't take liquor. We cannot take liquor. We take a sip of liquor, we drunk.
No, I completely understand.
And I'm like, one cup is too much for her, you know? And I asked them. And then they end up with her cell phone. I pay her cell phone bill every month to make sure my daughter has a phone. How did she love her phone? I don't understand. Why would she leave her cell phone with you all and just go disappear? And she know I just had surgery. You know, she know my predicament.
No, yeah. Well, in that case, what I would recommend, just, you know, go home, relax a little bit, give it some time. She could, of all we know, she very well could still be in the room. She could just be passed out. You know, again, you know how it is. You drink it the night before, you get, you know what I mean, whatever else have you. So just give it a couple hours. You know, maybe see if she'll get a hold of you again. You know what I mean? Does she know your number?
Yes, she knows my number very well. She's very smart.
Okay, well then, like I said, you know, just give her a couple hours. You know what I mean? You know, give her some time. You know, again, maybe she went to one of her other friends' places, or maybe she is still in the room. You know, just knocked out. You know what I mean?
Okay, and so how long does it take for me to file a missing person report?
Well, you can file it at any time. It just, like I said, just give it a little bit of time. You know, if you hadn't heard from her by, I want to say about 10, 11 o'clock, then by all means, you know, give us a call again. You can come to the station and we can help you out from there.
Welcome back.
So, basically the operator is just like, you know what? Go home, relax, you know, throw your feet up, kick back. And then, you know what, if you still don't hear from her, like, just give us a call. Like, it's totally chill, no big deal.
See, I get why it's frustrating, but I also get, like, when I was younger, I would never call my mom. She wouldn't know where I was half the time, and she'd be freaking out. So I'm like, and I'm sure he gets calls like this a lot. It's just unfortunate the way this one ended.
Right, but this is 7:15 in the morning. Her friends haven't heard from her since 3 o'clock. You haven't heard from her. Nobody has seen her. Nobody will help you look at footage. And you clearly know nothing about filing missing persons reports and stuff like that. So you're just hoping that these people are going to help you.
I don't understand why they didn't do anything about the footage, at least. Because she didn't really care to file a missing persons report. It seems she just wanted someone to come down there and be like, we'll show this woman the footage.
Yeah. I just feel that every time that something like this happens, where people call 911 and go to, like, either file a missing persons report or, like, are trying to get, like, a jump start on looking into where their adult is that can run away legally, this is always the case. It always happens like this, where they're encouraged not to file a missing persons report, and those first few hours were so critical. I mean, to say that, you know, 4 hours of her being in there, she'd still be alive? Probably not. But she could have been, more likely than, you know, 17 hours later.
Right.
It's just very frustrating. And the fact that he says, you know, it would take us a long time to get the footage and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, we need it, though. So and I felt bad for her. I felt really bad for her. But I do feel like listening to that 911 call, kids lie all the time, and I'm sure she even thought that. Yeah, well, yeah, but like she's like, she doesn't drink. Like, we can't handle liquor. The girl clearly had a few drinks, and even if it was just one, then she was stumbling like
that. She really can't handle her liquor.
Yeah. So later that night, around 8:30, the police show up at the hotel. And mind you, this is 8:30. Still no missing persons report. Still no footage. Nothing. 8:30 at night, the police show up at the hotel. And not because they're there to look for Kanika, but because Kanika's friends and family won't leave the hotel and are knocking on doors, showing pictures of Kanika, asking if anybody has seen her. They're looking around for her. And one of her friends actually pulled the fire alarm because she was hoping that Kanika would maybe come running out of a room after hearing it. So basically the police were called on Kanika's family because they were looking for her where she was last seen, which I get that there is protocol in hotels and stuff, right? But then show them the damn footage. Look over the footage. I don't understand.
Remember when Brian went missing after my wedding?
Yes.
They were getting ready to show us the footage.
Yeah, literally. Weren't they looking at it?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, at least take a look. So Kanika's family then tell the police everything that had happened, and they start to look at the room. The police start to look at the room that the party was held in. They look around the hotel, and finally they conduct an investigation of sorts. They pull the surveillance footage, which at this point we have almost like 20 hours of footage to potentially look through because this happened at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So they look through the footage to see if they can find Kanika and if any of it, to see if they can find Kanika on any of it. And then they send the family home in case she shows up at home. They were like, you should go home and wait for her. I mean, also probably just to get rid of her. But if she were to come home, you should be there. I believe while police were looking through the footage and searching the premises, I'm not sure about this, around midnight, the food and beverage manager had gone to the freezer that you see on surveillance that Kanika was walking into, and he walks in, opens the door, turns around, and brings a police officer back with him, and this is when they find Kanika in the freezer, and unfortunately, she is not breathing.
Well, it's like friggin' 24 hours later, pretty much, so.
Right, exactly. I also want to say that this is all on surveillance, so you see him walk over there and bring the police officer over. It also isn't really said if the manager went to go get something in the freezer or if they saw her on the camera and he went down there to look. I kind of feel like he was probably getting something, but what's so confusing is that freezer wasn't really being used at the time, so I don't know. And no one had gone into this area since Kanika had gone missing.
Right.
So why would he be down there? But at the same time, why would you send like the food and beverage manager to like go look?
I don't know.
I guess maybe he like knows the freezer or something.
But
so when Kanika was found, she was on her side, but her face was down. Her hair, she had had it straightened the night before, and it was now like messed up and curly, and there were icicles on the fans above her head. Which they speculate that maybe some of the water dripped off of the icicles to wet her hair, and that's why it got the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
One of her white sneakers was taken off, and she also had a hair tie that was behind her. Also, her shirt was somewhat pulled up. It wasn't even her shirt. She had on jeans, a white, like, cropped bralette thing, and a jean jacket. So the jean jacket was kind of, like, pulled up, I guess. And the police check for a pulse, but there isn't one, and Kanika's pronounced dead. So now they have to tell her mom, and this is so heartbreaking because you can see the hotel footage of this, of them telling her mom. So they bring her into a conference room, and literally less than a minute later, she runs out screaming and yelling and out towards the lobby and, like, totally breaks down. You don't hear it, but you can see it all happening. And they bring her back in because they need her to identify Kanika's body, which is, like, so devastating. I like can't imagine having to be somebody that has to do that. So before her mother goes in, she's given a bag of Kanika's belongings, and obviously there wasn't really much. There was a belly ring, that hair tie, and a watch. And Teresa identifies Kanika's body, and she's walked to the freezer area where Kanika was found and is seen like leaving on surveillance. So she like sees where everything happened. She sees like the scene of where everything was. A few minutes later, it looks like in the parking lot, Teresa goes live on Facebook explaining what happened to Kanika, and she says that no one did this to her. So I want to play that live real quick.
thank y'all for y'all prayers. I just want y'all to know my baby did. Thank y'all. I thank y'all for y'all prayers. And for the book, for the record, no. Didn't nobody do nothing to her, y'all. Didn't nobody do nothing to her. Ain't nobody do nothing to her. She was left at the party. But then nobody set up or nothing. She was found in at this hotel right here. In a freezer. My baby dead. Thank y'all once again. I love y'all. Peace.
So, yeah. So, she's just basically saying that nobody did this to her.
Like, it was an accident.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Which, I feel so bad for her. I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So, the following morning, an autopsy was performed, and it described on there what she was wearing, like, the crop bra and the jacket and everything like that. She also had a small abrasion on her right ankle and a contusion on her right leg. So, like, really, really minor injuries. Like, nothing crazy. Nothing that would insinuate there was a struggle or anything. It was probably unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
The toxicology report came back, and in her system, they found alcohol, caffeine, and a drug called topiramate. Yes. And a drug called topiramate. So, topiramate is a drug used to treat epilepsy and seizures. It's also used to prevent migraines, but it doesn't treat them. I've also read that a side effect of it is weight loss, and it's said to be used as a weight loss drug. So, Kanika didn't have any of these issues. Like, she didn't have epilepsy or seizures or anything like that, that it would be prescribed for, necessarily, that anybody knows of. I do want to talk about the side effects real quick. There are a lot of side effects when you look this up, but the most common ones are tiredness, drowsiness, dizziness, nervousness, numbness or tingly feeling in hands or feet, coordination issues, anxiety, weight loss, speech or language problems, changes in vision, sensory distortion, confusion, slowed thinking, trouble concentrating or paying attention, and memory problems. So, I feel
that's
like,
a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. But she's having a lot of those.
Right, exactly.
Like, you see a lot of those coming out. So I do feel like it would make sense that she had that in her system.
Mm-hmm.
And I also decided to look into the effects of combining alcohol and topiramate. Mm-hmm. And the combination can result in mild side effects, it says. But increased drowsiness and dizziness, as well as diminished thinking, judgment, and coordination.
So what she was doing.
Literally her, yeah, like what she had going on. So that's definitely something to keep in mind, and they determined that the manner of death was accidental, and that the cause of death was hypothermia with intoxication of topiramate and alcohol. So at this point, I don't know if anybody remembers, but this case, like, really blew up with conspiracy theories, like, over the internet. When this first came out, it was, like, everything was speculation and this and the other thing. So, a lot of people thought her friends were involved and whatever. But a man named Jedediah Brown came to look into the case, and he wanted to stay at the Crown Plaza. However, he claims that management wouldn't let him, and this is, like, really what made the conspiracy start, because he was claiming that, like, they didn't want him looking into the case and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other thing. I don't really know what happened, but that's what this guy claims. So at this point, Kanika's mother and her sister start going on, like, television shows. They went on Dr. Oz. They went on Nancy Grace. And now they're saying that something happened in the hotel and that there's a cover-up. So they're, like, changing what their thought is. They say that there's too many strange things that have occurred. They talk about the fact that Kanika had topiramate in her system and wasn't prescribed this. However, the way that the autopsy showed the topiramate showing up in her autopsy, it was like she had been taking it for a period of time as if it were prescribed to her. Like, it wasn't just a one-time thing or something slipped to her. It was a build-up. Yeah, no. it seemed like she had been taking it for a period of time. So, and she's 19, so who's to say she didn't go to the doctor and was prescribed this and they didn't know? I don't know. Maybe she was taking it for weight loss. Maybe she was taking it for migraines. who knows?
That I would not take that for weight loss. There's too many side effects.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, she had to get it somewhere, so mm-hmm. I would think a prescription. And I'm confused because did they not ever talk to her doctor?
Right. I was going to ask that, too.
So, I don't know. I feel like I'd be looking into that, but whatever. I don't feel like the police handled this very well, so.
Well.
But just like it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I also want to talk about her clothing, because her sister brings this up, and she talks about the fact that the her shoe was off, her one shoe was off, and her shirt was pulled up, and she claims that it's, like, a sign of foul play. And while I don't discount that, there's something that I, like, looked into called, because I read about this while I was, like, researching, and there's something called paradoxical undressing, which sounds really weird, but it's a result of, like, extreme hypothermia. So, like, when people are dying of hypothermia, the body kind of starts to feel like you're, like, burning up and sweating to death. So, in result, you, like, actually start taking your clothes off because you think that you need to cool off. This is just, like, a reaction that your body has, I guess. So, this could kind of explain that. But also, when she was, what could explain it was, you know, she's there for a period of time. Maybe she decided to lay down and fall asleep because she's like, I'm not getting out of here or something. So maybe she like started to take her shoe off. I mean, she's drunk. Like maybe she started to take her shoe off and then couldn't get the other one off. I don't know. And maybe she like, cause the way she was found, she was like laying down on her side and her face was down. So I just feel like maybe her shirt was like pulled up from laying down because I actually, while I was writing this.
Did you lay down?
I was literally like, no, I wasn't even thinking about it. As I'm typing it, I'm like sitting on my couch and typing and I like thought about it and my shirt literally is like underneath my boobs. It's literally written up and I'm like, I'm not doing anything. It's just, that's the way that, that's what happens sometimes when you lay down on a shirt. So, yeah. And it's a jean jacket. It's not like a shirt. So I just think, I don't find that to be like a be all end all, like, oh my God, right. There was foul play.
Right. Okay.
The one shoe was a little weird because I don't think she even had a sock on that foot, but
I read a theory that she was like using it to hit on the door.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like gave up and threw it.
Yeah.
So Teresa also didn't want to turn Kanika's phone over. And I feel really mixed about this. I, like, understand her not trusting the police after everything that happened, like, especially at this point. Like, this is later on. Everything has kind of happened. This is all coming out, and she's finding out that she should have filed the missing persons report, and they kind of, like, held her back from that. But,
well, he did, but he didn't, I feel like, because he did say, you can file it whenever.
And whenever, which, thank God he said that, but he still encouraged her not to.
Right.
So, I also wonder if maybe there was something on her phone that maybe would change the way that people would look at Kanika, and maybe she didn't want to, like, ruin her daughter's memory. I don't know. Like, I can totally understand that, too. And maybe she's just like, I just want to let her rest in peace and move on. But if you feel that there's something else going on and there's a cover-up, like, it would seem like handing in her phone to investigators would make sense so that they can, like, pull deleted files and pictures and stuff off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't. So now I want to talk about that weird Facebook Live.
Okay, good.
About Kanika's birthday friend.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this Facebook Live that was from that night that was at 1:30 when everybody had first gotten there. And it was said that this is the last time you hear Kanika speak. The Facebook Live is about 6 minutes long, and when it starts, it's actually pretty quiet, and her friend, whose birthday it was, is just, like, answering some questions and, like, clearly just, like, smoking weed.
And I have one comment. What is up with all these people going on Facebook Live?
I don't know. Is that, like, a thing in Chicago?
I don't know. It's just not a thing here. It's, like, a thing for moms.
Yeah, I've never been into that.
Yeah, me neither.
But I will say the friend who, like, posted the Facebook Live, the birthday girl, she said, she's like, I go live all the time, like, when she was interviewed. So I thought that was kind of fun.
So weird.
Super weird. So the Facebook Live is like 6 minutes long, and I feel like nothing really happens until 3 minutes in, and you can kind of hear like what sounds like somebody shrieking, and people claim that it says it's Kanika saying help me, and then her one of her friends who she came with turns the music up to block out the help me sound. I also want to point out that at no point in the live is Kanika seen. Like, she is in the beginning, but when this help me thing, like, she's already gone. But there's other videos from the from that night as well of everybody partying, and like there was like one where you hear Kanika say, "I'm not even drunk," or something like that. And there was a small interview I found from this guy, Zach TV. And he is a local guy from Chicago who, like, goes around and interviews all sorts of people, like, people who, like, do crimes and sell drugs and shit like that. And he'll, like, blur their faces or, like, not film their face and stuff like that. But he sat down for a little bit with her friend. And her friend claimed that that was how you knew Kanika was drunk, was when she would say, I'm not even drunk or whatever. Which, like, totally relatable, because I feel like people totally do that. And Zach asks her if he had ever seen Kanika like that before. And she claims that she did one time. She said on Kanika's birthday, she was that lit. So she claims that Kanika didn't take any pills. She claims that they used to use pills, but Kanika didn't like the way that they made her feel, so she stopped. Also in the Facebook Live, you can hear her friend, whose birthday it is, respond to somebody asking her a question. And she says 200. And a lot of speculators insinuate that she's talking about getting paid $200 to cover up the rape and murder of Kanika. But according
to
her
friend... That's not enough money for me to want to do that.
Yeah, isn't that a little ridiculous, like, to sell Kanika out for... I don't know. She said that she was actually responding to her friend because I guess one of them got a parking ticket at the hotel. And she was saying that was $200.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and when you look up the, like, hotel, like, signage, it does say that the parking tickets are $200. I don't know that somebody got a parking ticket or they were asking, like, oh, if you get a parking ticket, how much is it? But it's downtown Chicago, like, they don't want you parking there more than you're allowed.
Right.
So, there's also a video of an audio engineer that claims to have cleared everything up to hear what's being said. And he claims that clearly what is being said, he says, is because there's like a muffled part before that or right before the like scream, the help me that says they stupid as hell. They there raping her ass. And that was like one of her friends. And then the birthday girl says, I told y'all. And then you hear the help me shriek. I am not convinced by this.
No.
I just...
I've heard it, and while it's, like...
Strange.
Strange. I feel like it's kind of a, like, stretch. Like, it's, they're reaching for something.
I could make out the help me part, but not the other part.
And also, even if someone says help me, like, that doesn't necessarily mean, like, something horrible. Is going on.
And it could have just been, like, any kind of a joke. I don't know. I just don't feel like... And this is the other thing. Because they're claiming that she is getting murdered at this time. Mm-hmm. But you see her on surveillance footage an hour and a half after this.
Right.
So I'm just not convinced. And I'm not saying it's not possible, but I'm not convinced.
And I always thought from the beginning that... I think that her mom is looking for, like,
closure?
A reason to be, what? Closure. And someone to blame.
Like, the answer to the why, yeah.
Right. I think this girl was extremely drunk, and she accidentally stumbled into a fucking freezer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, so we're gonna get into the theories now. Okay. Which obviously we discussed her friends and the Facebook Live. And like I said, this doesn't make sense to me. I can't understand why anybody would really think this because A, there's no evidence whatsoever other than the fact that they have her keys and phone. That's the only strange thing. And that's not strange.
I've left my keys and my phone in numerous places. Also, while sober.
True.
Yes.
Also, like,
you've left your wallet in my bag and we were sober.
You've left your purse in my car. Like, yeah. You know, it just happens. It doesn't mean that, like, one of us has something to do with it. But, and they spend so much time looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if they did something, they wouldn't spend hours looking for her.
I mean, you would think I'm not in the situation, but, like, I don't think you would. And, like, the timing would have to be, like, perfect on all this. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They went back for, like, 15 minutes. And I just don't think that, like, this is my whole thing with the friends. Are they hiding something? 100%. They're hiding whatever they were doing at that party.
They're hiding that they were all drunk.
Yes, and I don't know, maybe they went back for 15 minutes, maybe they went back, because they said that they stopped on their way to pick up weed, and maybe they went back in to go get their weed, and, like, smoked, or had another drink, or, I don't know, just something, and they didn't want to get in trouble with police, so they didn't tell her mom that, and they didn't want her to get in trouble with her mom, because they probably thought she was going to be found.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't buy into the friend thing.
Mm-mm. I don't either.
So, now let's discuss the theory of the hotel having something to do with this. Because that's another one that I see a lot of speculation on.
Right.
There's a lot of speculation that there's somebody in these surveillance videos with her that has been edited out to cover up for something. And there is one spot in the surveillance where Kanika's actually coming off of the elevator into the basement. And it's like at 24, like, whatever the time is or whatever, it's at, like, minute 24, and then it jumps to 26:30, which I do find a little strange. Like, why is that part cut out? But it could literally mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the hotel footage, it has these, like, little red boxes. Have you seen this? It has, like, little red boxes when there's movement coming into the camera. So it's, like, alerting that there's movement. And a lot of times, there are, like, two red boxes showing up in all the footage. Mm-hmm. And people are saying that that's proof that there was somebody else that's been edited out or whatever. However, I've also seen that there's a lot of camera systems that work like this. And the reason that there's multiple boxes is because of, like, the breakdown of the motion sensor. So... Mm-hmm. The motion sensor, let's say, will cover, like, an inch of this amount of the camera. And then, like, there's, like, another spot where it has to cover, if that makes sense. So the camera covers multiple spots. It picks up on multiple spots. So
right.
If you're walking, it picks you up in one. And then you keep going, it picks you up in another. It can pick you up in another. And that's why it's showing multiple boxes.
Makes sense.
But, I mean, I will say, when this case first came out and I saw that, I was like, oh my god, they edited somebody out of this. Like, I was, like, convinced of that for the longest time. So, this is the theory, though, that Teresa stands by, is that there's something going on with this hotel, and they're trying to cover it up, and that's what happened to her daughter. Her mother also claims that Kanika would never walk into a freezer because she would know that it locks behind her because Teresa worked in the food industry. She claims she would also know where the latch was to unlock the freezer in an emergency to get out.
She's fucking drunk.
Right. That literally, she's fucking drunk. So would she know that? And also, this is why I said I wanted to come back to the freezer, because I personally don't find it relevant. I don't find that relevant, that the fact that you worked in the food industry and you worked with freezers means that your daughter would know things about freezers.
And also, since I have worked in the food industry, every freezer that I've worked with is different.
Right. And I was going to say, like, my mom works at a school cafeteria, so I imagine that they would have a freezer like that. I don't know for sure, but, like, that right there just goes to prove that, like, my mom works with a freezer, probably. I don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know, honestly, until I started looking into this case. I didn't know that most freezers, like, automatically lock and you have to, like, latch yourself out. You can't just, like, push yourself out. I wouldn't probably ever thought of it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it makes sense, but, like, to, like, trap the air, like, the seal it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't,
think that that's necessarily relevant at all. And no. It's pitch black. She's drunk. It's pitch black. How do you know what you're, like, feeling for? She's probably just, like, at this she's point, she's probably drunk. So tired.
She's on her meds, too, and that also doesn't...
Right? She may have just sat down there and fallen asleep, for all we...
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just feel like on a sober day, I could lock myself accidentally into a freezer.
Let's without a light.
If it were pitch black. So,
true.
Also, her mom says that if Kanika was so wasted, as, like, everybody says, there'd be no way that she could have opened the door on her own because it was so heavy and she would have been too weak. And I have no idea what this door weighed, so I can't say if this is true or not. However,
They're not that heavy.
I feel like you can still open a door.
Yeah. I mean... I just feel like her mom's just reaching.
I know, and I hate to even say that because, like, it's so sad for her, right? But, yeah. Like, it's like, I don't think that these conspiracies are really adding up. But I guess we can talk about what they would be covering up and why, because that was for a while. I was like, well, what the hell are they covering up? And, you know, I don't know. But it's insinuated that her body was being, like, stashed in the freezer to keep it cold because they were going to harvest her organs.
It's my favorite one.
I mean, I just... First of all, I feel like once her family and friends started, like, poking around there and, like, started getting into it, wouldn't they, like, move her, like, take her to where they're going to take her? Also, I've seen that, like, allegedly, the Crown Plaza is, like, the hub of organ harvesting. And I
just... You didn't know that? Duh.
Duh. I don't know how I didn't know. I find that really, really weird. And I want to keep talking about the organ harvesting. But I also want to say... They also claim that, they could have been covering up the fact that they, you know, had these parties there. They had these underage parties, and the hotel staff knew about it and did nothing about it. I don't know about that. I mean, maybe that's why they didn't show the footage. I think that that's very, very, very possible.
Right.
So, but piggybacking off of my organ harvesting. I don't know if you heard about this one, but you know how much I love Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on Reddit, and I actually, like, think that I saw this, like, a couple times. I heard this on a YouTuber talk about this, too. But Selena Gomez had a kidney transplant in Chicago around this time.
And I know where you're going with this.
It's speculated that Kanika was killed so that they could give Selena a kidney, because Selena was just going to pay for one on the black market because she could afford it and didn't want to wait for a kidney. But there are pictures of Selena and her very good friend in the hospital who, like, donated her kidney to Selena. And also, Kanika's not missing any kidneys. So I don't think that this has happened. But I had to bring it up.
A side note, I love her friend because she was on Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Oh, really? Who?
Mm-hmm. Whatever her name is. I forget what her name is. Did you watch that? No. It's the Spanish girl.
Oh, that's really?
Yeah.
Isn't her name, like, Alex or Alexa or...
No.
Okay.
That's
gonna bother me. I do like her. Did you say, do you watch now? Is it back?
No. I said, have you watched it?
Oh, yeah. I used to love it.
Francia Reza.
That's her.
What's her pronouncing character? It super white.
I meant her character's name.
Adrian.
I knew it was an A.
Mm.
So the last theory is that this is a really, really tragic accident. And I personally feel that the evidence is mostly in favor of this. And granted, there may be more evidence out there that I didn't come across, but there's not much. I mean, there's not much evidence out there, which is why I tend to lean towards this, because this is what makes sense to me. And her toxicology adds up to why she was stumbling all over and she accidentally walked into the freezer. I mean, I wonder why she, like, walked
in the freezer anyway, but
she I don't think I'd ever have an urge to open a door, see it's dark and cold in there, and go in.
Right. The only thing I can think is she, like, stepped in and, like, because this is the other thing. Remember she walked into the men's bathroom for a few seconds and then came out? If she didn't realize that the door automatically locked, then
she would have walked out.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. And maybe she was just trying to find her friends and find a way back to them. And she thought that that could be, I mean, I don't know. She's clearly, like, disoriented and has no idea where she is. She's just trying to find her way back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, this is what makes the most sense to me. And it's, like, super tragic. And I just think as a parent, when your kid dies young, I think it's more comforting to find, like, the blame somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it's going. And it's just unfortunate. And Teresa did file a $50 million lawsuit against the hotel in December 2018, stating that they were responsible for her daughter's death. In the lawsuit, she claimed that that area should have been properly closed off since it wasn't being used and was under construction. And I actually kind of agree with her here.
I think
that those doors totally should have been closed. It totally should have been closed off, locked, whatever. Because this is not only a liability in that case, but it's a it's a construction zone. I mean, it's not like totally under construction, but it's a liability in general. I mean, if somebody had walked in there and like stepped in a nail and got tetanus or something or whacked their head, like you can easily sue them because of. So I don't think that she's wrong. And somebody could go in there sober and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I know that in order to get into this kitchen, you had to go through a staff only spot. So I could see that being an issue in her lawsuit, but it should have been properly closed off as it was going through its work or whatever.
They should have, if it's a staff only, they should have like badges that scan Target that, or like the little lock that you have the code.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Especially in such a like well-known chain hotel that's like I would say it's upper class.
Yeah, it was a nice hotel, and also it's in the middle of Chicago, like you're right by the airport, like
I you think that what kind of people are gonna have staying there.
Yeah, security should be a little more cracked down. But yeah, I think it should have been properly shut off. But and then I also kind of want to go back into like the fact that there were these underage parties. So I think that was also in her lawsuit, is the fact that they had these underage parties in the hotel quite often. The staff were aware about this. People knew about this. They never notified authorities. And they also, like I said, that's probably why they wouldn't show her the footage. And she should have been able to see that, or they should have reviewed it early, much, much earlier. And maybe we wouldn't be here if they reviewed it when they should have. I don't know. So, yeah, that's like everything that I came across in her lawsuit. I haven't found anything on Kanika's mom winning or losing this. This was in December 2018 that she filed this lawsuit, so they probably haven't come to an agreement yet or anything. But yeah, I mean, when I first started looking into this case like a long, 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 long time ago and there wasn't much information out, I really did think that there was a conspiracy behind it. Like, I was convinced that there was something going on with this hotel. I never really thought it was her friends, but
you thought that the hotel was harvesting her organs?
Yes. No, but I thought that, like, there was just something shady about it. And I do still think the hotel is shady. But I do think this is just, like, a really, really sad, like, case of just a bunch of really unfortunate events.
I think that the hotel is shady, but I don't think that they are responsible. I think that they just handled the situation in the wrong way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think that that should have been locked off, though.
Did she win the lawsuit?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything yet. So I guess we'll see. I mean, that wasn't that long ago. That was only like a year ago.
Right.
So I don't know. But I lean more towards this wasn't a sinister act.
Mm-mm.
This was a total accident. And it's just really unfortunate and a really bad timing, you know, like everything came down to just poor timing on everybody's part. You know, the friends shouldn't have left her alone. Then we wouldn't be here and she shouldn't have gotten in that elevator. If the friends were maybe 5 minutes faster, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have looked at the hotel footage when the friends first went up to the front desk, if they would have looked at the hotel footage when the mom came, like, mm-hmm. so many things that...
She could have possibly still been alive.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah. But there's just so many things that I think could have been different. I do want to finish watching, because I only watched part of the Neve show. Mm-hmm. It almost seems to me like they're actually on the other side of the fence with this. I could be wrong. I haven't, like, fully, like, they're just diving into it. But it seems like they're really, I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're, like, trying to interview the friends and stuff like that. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I feel like I should finish that. But I didn't get a chance to.
Mm.
So. But, yeah, that's all we have for today's episode. Unless you have more to say.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I just, it's just a really unfortunate one.
It's an accident, though.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, everybody let us know your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I like to know when people think, like, the opposite of what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing the people that are, like, on the other side to see if they can prove me wrong.
If you think that they were harvesting Celebrians, let us know.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay, obviously not, because they didn't.
If you think Selena Gomez has her kidney, let us know.
And also, hotel staff found her. Like, it's right. Not like, I can't with this.
Yeah. But,
yeah, we will be back on Friday with a new TV Time episode. And...
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will talk to you guys on Friday. And then, again, on Monday, hopefully we'll have a two-parter on Monday, because...
We will.
We were supposed to this week, so hate to get you guys' hopes up, but anyway, so be safe, trust no one, and until the next class.